Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Whether you're joining us online or in person, we are glad you're with us today, and we want to offer a special welcome to those who are visiting with us today. We have a gift for you, and it's kind of a neat one. It's got a couple of handmade items from our congregation, and to get yours, you just go to the welcome desk that's right out there in the coffee hour room. That's also a place where you can find a person whom we call a friendly link, and they can help you with lots of things. They can help you to know your way around, to find other people who are interested in things you are, so talk to them. And you've come on a great day because Pastor John and Pastor Lindsay are back. Hooray! Yay, yeah. And Pastor John is bringing us the message today, and he is so excited. He's in a white robe and I'm in a black robe, and that is great. That is a celebration robe he's wearing there. All right. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and I'm back too. Hooray, hooray. Yes, and our worship leaders today are Kelly Myers and Rose Bledsoe, and we want to welcome, look over towards the piano, we have a guest musician with us today, Laura Burwell. Laura, we're glad that you're here. Yeah, let's welcome Laura. So please complete the connection cards that are inside your bulletin, and flip them over and sign up for some opportunities that I'll be talking about in a minute. Or if I say something and you want to sign up for something that's not there, just handwrite it in. We'll understand. And if there is something going on in your life that you would like us to be praying for you, to be praying with you, please take one of those little prayer request cards that are in the pew, fill it out, put it in the offering plate along with the connection card, and we have people who pray conscientiously, and also our community prays as things go out on the prayer request line. I'd also like to say if there's any children who are still here with us, you're welcome to stay, but you're also welcome to go downstairs to Sunday school where they have a whole bunch of fun. You can do either one, okay? Okay. Now, I have a few announcements. Let's see, we've got the scrap metal drive. That is happening next Saturday. I'll tell you, I've been here for, 3 years? In fact, this is like, I'm just at my 3 years anniversary. Did you know that? And the first time I heard there was a scrap metal drive, I was thinking, oh, there's, you know, we'll all bring a few bottle caps, I don't know. And it is not like that at all. People bring washing machines. I saw dental chairs there, and we have people that take them apart astonishingly and sort them, and then they get sent off to recycling places, and the money goes for Redbird Mission. I mean, this is like a really wonderful thing. And since you were a kid, you haven't taken things apart, you could come and help. So talk to Ginger about that. All right, next slide. Yes, perfect. Next Sunday is Bounce Back Sunday. That's the start of our fall season, and it's going to be happening at both services. All the kids will need to come to the sanctuary first. Don't go down to Sunday school first. Come to the sanctuary because we're going to be doing some neat stuff. First of all, when you come, kids or parents, tell your kids, bring backpacks because we're going to be blessing backpacks. We're going to be blessing kids and teachers, whether you are teachers from Sunday school or teachers from the community. We're going to honor all those people. And if kids are in kindergarten or third grade, they are going to get a special gift. They're getting a Bible that they can keep, one that's appropriate to their age. Finally, the big grand slam for the kids is that there will be bounce houses after Sunday school. So parents can go and pick up their kids after church, take them outside, and, you know, have fun watching them as they bounce around. That's unless it's raining. So hope for sunshine. Finally, there are a number of classes and groups that are starting in the next couple of weeks. There's a new member class that starts next Sunday, and we would love to have you be there. We have more than 15 people already signed up. We'd love to have some more, so please let me know today or let Pastor Lindsay know during the week. Okay, we also have a Disciple Bible study that's happening on Tuesday evening starting September 9th. They're going to be looking at the Old Testament, that mysterious book that is really very interesting. When I hear people say they don't like the Old Testament, I go, huh? Because I like it. All right. Journey through grief. If you have lost someone in your life, maybe in the last year, maybe it's a long time ago and you never took the time to grieve, this is a place where you can come. We invite you. Deacon Loretta and some others are leading it, and it's on Tuesday afternoon starting September 16th. And guess what? There's a whole bunch more things happening. So look in your bulletin, look online, stop at the welcome desk. We will help you to know the many, many things that are available here. And now, I invite you all to stand and sing, Come Thou Almighty King. We'll be singing all four verses, number 61 in the hymnal.
Good morning. Let us lift up our hearts and voices as we join in the opening prayer. Lord, thank you for being present in my life. Please continually show me where my attention needs to be focused. Help me to have a clear mind, free from distractions. Give me strength to trust in you and your purpose for my life. Amen. Please be seated. This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. Then he said to them all, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us out of our comfort zone. Amen. Well, we've been in the midst of a sermon series about idolatry, which is a nice, lighthearted topic to end the summer with. Welcome back. For those of you who are going into a new school year and getting ready for academic calendar, perhaps you have grandchildren that are doing that and kids that are getting your grandchildren ready to do that. Welcome to a new school year. Are we excited? The resounding uproar is like palpable, you know. We're excited in our household. I first wanted to say thank you so much for giving the opportunity for us, our family, to be able to be away for the last couple of weeks. It was a huge blessing to us just to be able to, we went up to Maine, we were able to go to Acadia National Park and watch our kids rock hopping on all of the rocky coast of the East Coast. It was beautiful to be there, wonderful to be back. And then the last couple of days of our time away, we were in Nebraska, actually. Lindsay's grandmother passed away. She was 99.9 years old. It was either going to be a birthday celebration for her turning 100 or a memorial service. And unfortunately, and you know, in the midst of it, we celebrate the wonderful life that she had. It was a beautiful celebration of life, but it's good to be back here with all of you and to be in the midst of this beautiful Michigan fall. Michigan and Michigan State both won, so I think we ought to have a lot of excited people in the house this morning. Some of you are still in recovery. Gene told me he was at the game last night, and so some of you are only half awake this morning, but this morning we're going to be talking about idolatry and the ways in which we put other things on the mantle place before our faith in God. And today we're going to be talking about comfort, which is one of the things that so many folks in our world hold on to so tightly. We want to be comfortable. We want to be safe. We want to be secure. We want to feel like everything's in its proper place. And sometimes I think that that gets in the way of us following God into places that might make us uncomfortable, at times potentially unsafe, at times potentially in harm's way. And every once in a while, when I read the story of the Gospels and I think about what the disciples of Jesus actually went through after Jesus came and spoke with them and taught them and encouraged them to go out into the world to do one thing or another, sometimes I find myself thinking, man, maybe we have things a little bit too easy sometimes. Have you ever been uncomfortable because of your faith? Have you ever been challenged to do something that maybe you didn't want to do or you felt uncomfortable doing it? I remember one of the first times that I was called to be an intern down at Cass Community Social Services in Detroit. One of my mentors and friends, my colleague, Reverend Faith Fowler, asked me to serve communion with her, and I was standing up there in front of the church, and I looked out into the congregation, and as people were beginning to come forward and receive communion, it was one of the first times that I had ever had a privilege of being able to serve communion. I was fresh out of college, and I had never really done that before, and I was standing up with her, and we were giving people by intinction the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and I looked out, and I noticed that there was this guy that was coming forward to receive the elements of communion, but what was particularly odd about this individual is he was coming forward with his hand on his hip. Unfortunately, the hand was not empty. He had a pistol that was stuck inside his pants, and he had his hand on the, I'm not a gun guy particularly, so I don't even know what it's, the handle of the gun, whatever that part's called. And as he came forward, he was mumbling things under his breath. And I was the bread guy in the communion cycle. And so he came forward with his hand on his pistol. And I reached down into the basket of bread. And I'd never stopped making eye contact with this guy. And I said, "This is the body of Jesus broken for you." And I handed it to him, and I was so grateful when he took his hand off his pistol, took the body of Christ out of my hand, ate it, and then went to faith and drank a second portion of the blood of Jesus out of the communion cup. Needless to say, I was uncomfortable, anxious, afraid, scared. I was in a new place, fresh out of college, serving communion for the first time. And after the service, Faith, in her typical sense of humor, because she's seen nearly everything during her 30 years of ministry in Detroit, she's seen almost everything that you can possibly imagine in terms of this, that, and whatever happening. And she turns to me and she says, "Makes you want to be a minister, doesn't it, John?" It's like, yeah, about that. Mom? That wasn't the only time I've had an experience like that. In the middle of the foothills of Kentucky, I pulled up late, as I often do on one of our Redbird mission trips a number of years ago, and I was driving a Ford Focus with a Michigan license plate, and I had arrived late. And if you've never been to Redbird, this probably won't translate appropriately, but your GPS doesn't work and neither does your phone, and it's hard to navigate where you're trying to go because there aren't necessarily street names to get to where you're trying to get to. And so you pull into this mountain, and there's a couple of houses, none of which have addresses anywhere, and I pull in and I stop, and I'm trying to figure out how to get to this person's house that we're working on. And sure enough, as I'm sitting there, a guy approaches my vehicle once again with a pistol hanging off of his belt, and his hand was on his gun, and I rolled down my window, because that's what you do, I guess, when somebody's approaching your vehicle with a hand on a gun like a police officer. And he just asked me one question: "Are you with the law?" And I'm like, what is the appropriate answer in this particular circumstance? And so I said, "No, I'm with the United Methodist Church." And he goes, "Oh, good, welcome to Redbird." And I was like, thank God I answered that question right. And so I told him the name of the person that we were trying to help, and he said, "Just go right over there to that there holler and go up into the mountain, and that's where you'll find him." And sure enough, the locals' directions were perfect. I got to where I was trying to go to. No reason to be anxious or afraid. Another time, when we were in the woods of Liberia, this local town chief came up to us as we pulled into his village, because I wanted to experience what it would be like to carry water from the river to the village. And so we pulled up in the middle of this rainforest, and the town chief answers the beckoning call of our mission team in the middle of this rainforest in Liberia. And he shows up and he pulls out this massive machete out of his pocket, and he says, "Welcome to our town." And I was like, I'm feeling strangely warmed at the moment. I feel such a welcome, warm hospitality. And he proceeds to walk us so kindly and generously from his village all the way to this small place where people were going off into the forest to collect their water source. Needless to say, I walked with him the whole way from the street to that particular pond. All of these moments were three of the moments that I have felt most uncomfortable following Jesus in my entire life, not knowing what the outcome would be, not knowing if we were safe. Since I've been to Liberia multiple times since then, I recognize that in Liberia, they just use machetes to open up coconuts. There was nothing to be afraid of in that moment, but I was uncomfortable because I was out of my familiar place. I hope I have you all convinced to join us for the next mission trip, because you never know what's going to happen. A lot of us are comfortable, though. We come to church, we show up each and every week, we hear a message that maybe challenges us or maybe gives us a good feeling or a pat on the back, and we feel good about what's going on in our lives. And sometimes I find myself wrestling, is the church in its modern form what Jesus intended for it to be? Or have we somehow missed the mark? Have we not challenged ourselves to every once in a while go into a place that feels uncomfortable or unexpected or maybe distant or different than what we're comfortable in? Because in the end of the day, that's what Jesus commissioned the disciples to do in the early church. He encouraged them to pick up their cross daily and follow him. What does that mean to you? Is there a place that you never imagined yourself finding yourself? Is there a location on the map that feels strange or different or uncomfortable to you? Because every once in a while I find that God is calling you to go exactly to that place. Maybe it feels uncomfortable because you don't know the culture or the language, or the food that people eat might feel different than what you feel comfortable with. At the end of the day, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, and they're recorded in the book of Philippians, and it's a challenge to me, actually, to read them. He says, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, and a lot of us do, we sit in church and we go out and we're like, you don't have to worry about my righteousness. I am in the church every Sunday. I'm happy. I'm secure in my relationship with Jesus. He says, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, he's listing off all of his spiritual accomplishments. Be proud of me, God. Look at all the things I've done. As to zeal, I persecuted the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. You can't find anything wrong with me. Yet all of these gains I now count as garbage, rubbish, trash. And actually, if you read the original Greek translation, he uses an even worse word than any of those things. But I press on, he says, that I have come to regard all these things as loss. More than that, I regard everything as loss for the surpassing value of knowing Jesus as my Lord. I have to tell you that every once in a while in this faith journey, we find ourselves being challenged to do something that makes us feel incredibly uncomfortable. Maybe for some of you, it involves standing up for somebody less fortunate than you. I was just doing a memorial service on, I guess it was yesterday, for a 23-year-old in our community who passed away way too young. And I was listening to his mom talk about him. She was sharing some stories about him. And she said, the thing that I'm proud of my son of the most was way back when he was in middle school, somebody walked up to another kid on the bus who has special needs and started bullying him relentlessly. And my son got in a fight. He got suspended from school. Sorry, this isn't a great example for some of our students who are in here. And the phone call came home from the principal and said, your son got in a fight on the bus. Well, tell me the circumstances of it. And a bully was taking advantage of this other kid, and the parents said, well, isn't that kid special needs? Who is there to stand up for him? And there was no response on the other end of the line, and your son's been suspended, and he needs to stay at home from school, and he's going to come to detention. And this mother got off the phone. She's like, thank you. And she went over to her son and she said, I'm so proud of you. Sometimes doing what's right is unpopular. At times it even gets you into trouble. The strange thing about the Apostle Paul writing this letter to the church in Philippi was that he was actually in jail, not for doing something terrible, but for preaching Jesus Christ, for standing up for people who are less fortunate than him, than actually going out and doing what Jesus encouraged the disciples to do. It got him imprisoned. Sometimes doing what is right results in some terrible consequences. How is God calling you to be uncomfortable? I don't know necessarily where God is calling you at this point. Maybe it's just down the street. Maybe it's picking up the phone and advocating for some cause that you deeply believe in. Maybe it's encouraging you to take a short-term mission trip to some place that you've never been to before. Maybe it's venturing out of the comfort and safety and security of your own home and going to some place that might feel unsafe or uncommon for you. But I think there's something to this. A number of years ago, we were putting together a mission trip, and one of the first questions that came out of the mouth of the sort of decision-making board of the church was whether or not there would be safety there. It's a great question to ask, It's a question that we should wrestle with. We should prepare ourselves so that in any emergency, there's always an exit strategy. There's a plan to get out. There's a way of preserving the health and human flourishing of all of life. For sure, those things are important. And then the question came up, is it worth it to go on that trip? Is the risk too great? Is it not necessarily the right decision to make? And sometimes I find myself wondering, like, did Jesus have this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was asking, like, God, what should I do? Should I go forward with this plan of ultimately going to the cross and to my death? And I find myself wrestling with the passage that Kelly read for us this morning when he said, then he said to them all, if any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Sometimes I wrestle with whether or not even I would raise my hand if Jesus would say to all of us gathered here, hey, are you ready to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me? I probably would be like, I love my 65-inch big screen TV. I love watching Michigan football in the middle of the night. I prefer sitting in my lazy boy recliner at home enjoying an ice-cold Coca-Cola as I watch Michigan win against New Mexico. I enjoy watching the Lions. I like going to Comerica Park where it's safe, comfortable, and secure. It's my second Crystal Cathedral. I love it there. I don't know if I can. But I guess my question is, where is Jesus encouraging you to set aside the comfort, safety, and security to go wherever Jesus is calling you to go? I can guarantee you this. Your life will never be the same if you accept that challenge and take your comfort and security off the mantle place and place with it instead of willingness and the courage to follow Christ wherever he calls you to go. Thank you for those of you who have made yourself uncomfortable at times, who have taken a step in faith, who have gone to places where every once in a while somebody walks up to you and says, are you with the law? And you wonder, what's the right answer to this question? Yes. No. Maybe. Every once in a while, God comes knocking and he says, will you follow me anywhere I would have you go? I hope the answer's yes. At the end of Paul's little message here, he says, I count it all as loss for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of everything, and I regard them as rubbish, trash, garbage, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through the faith in Jesus and righteousness from God based on faith. It's amazing to me how every once in a while when you go through these trials and tribulations, these winding roads, these moments in your life that are terrifying, that make you anxious, that make you afraid, that all of a sudden when you're in the midst of those moments and you recognize that God gets you through it, that God doesn't leave you orphaned or abandoned in the midst of those moments, those trials become the most powerful stories about where the end of your own limitations came and the beginning of God's transformative power begins. It's that thin space between heaven and earth where all of a sudden you're able to clearly articulate, I couldn't have done this by myself, but by the grace of God, there I go. It's powerful when you take on something so great, so challenging, so scary that it's only by God's grace that you can get there. It's those moments that we challenge ourselves outside of our comfort zone and go into these places that we never expected to be, that all of a sudden God shows up and our lives are never the same. Paul concludes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain a resurrection from the dead. At the end of the day, I see in our world far too many people who are getting picked on by bullies. In our world, I see so much evil. This last week, we saw yet another church shooting at the hands of a deranged and troubled student who came back to his school and shot up the place. Another act of terrorism and violence that's completely unacceptable in our world. I'm grieving again and afraid about the beginning of another school year. I'm grateful that Brighton Public Schools has done, again, everything in their power. We got a message from the superintendent of schools. These are the things that we're doing to keep our kids safe. I continue to feel uncomfortable with the reality of our world that students sometimes show up to school in fear about whether or not they're going to be able to come home safely. I am tired of reading that storyline. And I wonder where God's calling us to go into the uncomfortable places of our world, where we feel called to stand up for what's right, where we feel called to challenge the existing realities so that this world might look a little bit more like heaven. At the end of the day, that's why we go to Redbird. At the end of the day, that's why we send people down to CAS. At the end of the day, that's why we pack meals for Noah. It's the reason why we send out prayer quilts, because we believe that by these little acts of love, we're transforming the world. And those are just some of the many ways that we step out in faith to make this world look a little bit more like heaven. May you take up your cross daily and follow Jesus wherever he would have you go. Amen.
Welcome to this sacred space today. We hope that you find peace and friendliness in our midst. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, we are thankful for the wonders of this incredible earth. With so many tragedies around the globe and here at home, it's easy to forget to be thankful for the goodness in the world. It's easy to become stressed and anxious in our daily lives and to lose sight of our blessings, even as we worship your holiness and marvel at the glory of your creation. Mysterious God, we ask that you help us understand the complexity of human nature in all its frailty and strength. Give us insight to the core of our being that we may reach out with a pure spirit to untangle the mystery of our imperfect relationships. Gracious God, we ask for your patience that we may finally learn to hold sacred this beautiful planet you have entrusted to our care. Teach us forgiveness, not only for those we feel have slighted us in some way, but also for ourselves, so that our souls may be free to allow your grace to shine from within. Transformational God, may we seek not to dominate, but to strengthen our bonds with all of your creation. We offer our hearts and hands in service, and we ask humbly that you touch our lives with healing and wholeness. Loving God, please bless these beautiful quilts displayed here that will wrap Vicki Honor and Chelsea Brone in our love and prayers. And merciful God, we ask forgiveness for any suffering we may have caused. Help us to find the deep rest and peace that come from trusting your plans for us. For all those serving our country at home and overseas, we pray for protection. For the world leaders who struggle to maintain peace and justice, we pray for wisdom. For the countless displaced persons and refugees around the world, we pray for hope. For the compassionate women and men offering assistance through relief efforts and volunteer organizations, we pray for encouragement.
for those in our midst who also need your strength and guidance. We pray for healing. At this time, we lift in silence the concerns and joys we hold in our hearts. Let us experience your Holy Spirit flowing through us as we repeat the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thanks so much, Rose, for leading us in prayer. At this time, we've come to a point in the service where we have an opportunity to respond to God's work in our midst. And as the ushers collect this morning's offering, we'll also have a mission moment this morning. And Mary Kushner will come up and give that for us in just a moment here. But I wanted to take a moment also to share with you a little update on our capital campaign. If you came into the church this morning, hopefully you walked through the parking lot and were able to see some of the beauty of fresh asphalt. It was a wonderful project, and I'm really grateful for a couple of folks who really helped shepherd that project all the way through. It was a pretty massive undertaking. About 60,000 square feet of asphalt were laid and rolled over in our parking lot in a week. We're really grateful to the folks at Flynn Paving who took care of that for us, but also for Cedric Gibson and for Steve Victory, who were our church bouncers to make sure that nobody stepped in the asphalt or in the cement. I think that's a t-shirt that we're going to have printed and delivered to you guys in your house so that you can wear those with pride. In addition to that, we've also been really grateful for some friends at Corrigan Construction that have helped us redo our preschool entry just outside the church. So if you have a chance and want to take a look at that, that was reconstructed this last, maybe 2 weeks ago or something like this last week, potentially. They might have finished that. There's just a tremendous amount of work that has taken place, and I wanted to share with you that since we launched the capital campaign, about $270,000 have been given to the campaign this year. And so I just wanted to say a huge word of thanks to everyone who has contributed or been a part of that work in some way, shape, or form. This last week, several guys from Men With Tools were out in the parking lot driving the stakes inside the rubber stoppers on the parking lot. I'm here to tell you that if you have never seen Al Cockrell swing a 30-pound sledgehammer, it's worth it to come to the church on Tuesday just to watch that man work. It's impressive, but we were out there driving stakes into the ground and shoveling mulch into the preschool, all part of the capital campaign, the Building Together campaign, that's doing improvements all around the church to try to make this place as welcoming and as accessible as possible. I want to let you know that during the month of September, we're going to be kicking off the bathroom renovation project, which has been a dream of our building management team basically for the last 4.5 years. We've hoped to be able to do this work, so just know that you might experience some inconvenience or disruption over the next couple of weeks with the bathrooms. One or two of them may be closed at any given time. There are accessible bathrooms downstairs in addition to the ones we have upstairs, so just know that that over the month of September and October, it'll probably be a 4-week project, but those bathrooms at various stages will be in various stages of the possibility of using them. So I just wanted to share, we're moving forward. We're really excited about the progress we've made so far. And in our parsonage, the driveway was redone with the asphalt at the church. And I'm so grateful to be able to share that my kids and I and many of the neighborhood kids will now be able to ride our bikes down the parsonage driveway without fear of hitting that lip at the bottom and going over face first into the concrete. So that's been really great. And I love, out of habit, for the last couple of years when I've driven a car into our driveway, I just slow down for that little lip. And I continue to do that despite the fact that it's completely flat. Old habits die hard, don't they? It'll take me a long time to just go zooming right into our driveway. But thank you so much for your generous support to help us make all these projects and more happen throughout the course of this year. So I want to invite Mary Kushner, who's here, to share with us a mission moment about Crop Walk. Thanks so much. Please welcome Mary as she comes forward to share.
Oh, I don't get applause very often. It's Crop Walk time, and we're actually kicking it off a little early this year because I want to put a challenge out to people. The problems of hunger in the world continue. There are 9 million people who die each year from hunger-related issues and malnutrition, and there are approximately 1.5 billion people who have about this much to eat every day. Now, 1.5 billion is a staggering number. 1 billion seconds is 31 years. 1 billion inches is a round trip from Denver to Hong Kong. And we get really upset in this country and deal with things just like we were talking about the shooting that happened this week. We'll talk about that for a long time, but we really don't talk about the 28 people who die each day from hunger-related issues. CROP started off as an organization that gave away surplus crops to make sure that food didn't go to waste. But now it has morphed into an organization that does a lot more than that. It services as teaching agricultural techniques, getting animals and food into communities so they can raise their own food and learn how to survive that way. CROP now stands for Communities Responding to Overcome Poverty. The money that we raise, 25% of it goes locally, and our three organizations, the Torch Food Truck, Bountiful Harvest next door, and Love Inc. receive 25% of the money that we raise. I work with the Torch Food Truck, and every week we manage to get a lot of food from Trader Joe's over in Northville. And it's interesting because we are getting a lot less food these days. And last Wednesday, when we handed food out on the food truck, we put it out, opened it up at 12 o'clock. By 12:15, the trunk was empty. So many more people are coming for food. So hunger is a problem in our own community. It's important that we understand what's happening with why is hunger happening like this. I think that conflicts are a problem. Climate change is a problem, and economic instability are problems that are starting to cause this. I have a friend that worked for USAID in Washington, D.C., and a few years ago when he found out how involved I was in CROP, he invited me in to show what USAID was doing around the world for us. And he was very proud to show me the hunger biscuits that are made, and it's a source that can save people's lives. It's a high-energy biscuit, and this year, unfortunately, you read just recently that 496 metric tons of those biscuits were thrown out. And USAID has been closed down, so we are not reaching out to the world like we used to. So help us. Last year we raised $3,252 here at First United Methodist. Our Brighton Area Walk raised $11,000. 5 years ago, the Brighton Area Walk raised $19,000. And as you know, that $11,000 that we raised last year doesn't buy as much as it used to 5 years ago. So help us. Don't just give your donation. Request help this year from your friends and relatives. We have it so that you can go online and send all the information out in an email, and see if you can get friends to donate. And we're going to work on our children this year, and it's important that we explain to children how important giving to others is. We have to pass on that message of Jesus sharing the fishes and loaves, and we're going to share. So we're going to get our students active in more active in getting donations. So hopefully we can raise a lot more money this year because it's important. So thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we bring our gifts to you in gratitude for all that you have given us. If you have given us talents, we share them in praise. If you have given us skills, we offer them willingly. If you have given us wealth, we offer it in support of your work in this church. Please accept whatever we give and use it to lead your people. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we depart from this place, I pray that you'll have the courage to go into uncomfortable places. You remember that story of me serving communion down at Cass Community United Methodist Church? It was, in part, because of that story and other experiences that I had that summer, being incredibly uncomfortable in my place in the world, that I decided to go into ministry. It was the direct result of moments like that and reflections with Faith afterwards, and she said, "It makes you want to go serve the church, doesn't it?" It did. In a weird way, I was hooked. I couldn't get enough of it. I loved people's stories. I ended up talking with that guy after the service because I couldn't help myself. I was curious, who is this man walking up to receive communion? He was a guy who had just gotten out of federal prison, afraid that there might be people after him for things that he had done decades before. His story was compelling to me. He wasn't angry or dangerous. He was scared that somebody might be after him. It's amazing how when we listen to people's stories, our perspectives of them can completely change. The board chief, the town chieftain in Liberia, was totally safe to be around. He was just serving his village coconuts. No problem. And the guy in Kentucky, well, I imagine he probably was protecting his still up in the mountains. Whatever, to each their own, I guess. Wherever God calls you, trust this, God will go with you. I want to end this service with a plug. Bruce Stark is teaching a class about the Old Testament, Disciple Bible Study. It's one of those opportunities that people who take disciple class talk about their life being completely transformed because they read the scriptures. Maybe that's the place that God's calling you to go to be uncomfortable. Those books in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, challenge me every time I read them. I'm like, really? These are God's people? Thanks be to God we are broken and beautiful. Go out into the world as the blessed people of God. Go into the uncomfortable places. Your life will never be the same. Go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.